Welcome to the Resilience Roundup podcast. I am your host, Lataria Walker. The Army can be a tough profession. Mix in additional responsibilities like leading troops, attending college, maintaining a home, parenting, keeping up with finances, basically living life. How can we successfully manage everything? How can we not just cope, but learn, grow, and thrive? Resilience. That's it. Resilience is the ability to persevere, adapt, and grow in dynamic or stressful environments. Resilience encompasses internal motivation, persistence, and how soldiers revitalize, recover, and adapt in order to respond constructively to challenges in their daily lives. Training and education empowers leaders and soldiers to demonstrate resilience. When individuals gain experience in applying these skills, it enables cohesive team building and drives readiness. The Resilience Roundup podcast is a place where you can find resources that will help you maintain your resilience. You are resilient. Welcome to the Resilience Roundup podcast, episode 12. I am Lataria Walker, your podcast host. Today, our guest is Whitney Trammell, a senior health education administrator at the Henry M. Jackson Foundation for the Advancement of Military Medicine, which is a part of the Consortium for Health and Military Performance, or CHAMP. This episode's topic is stress and physical performance. Trammell will discuss how stress affects physical performance to include the top mental and physical stressors service members experience, the definition of stress and the differences between good and bad stress, the effects of stress on health and wellness, and how those effects can trigger or lead to personal injury, technical and tactical skills service members need to know how stress can affect those skills. And we'll also discuss lots more. Ms. Trammell, thank you for joining us today. Please tell us a bit more about yourself.
Hi, yeah. As you mentioned, my name is Whitney. My background is in strength and conditioning. I've worked mostly as a strength and conditioning coach, specifically in the military setting, but with a couple other tactical personnel as well, to include fire and law enforcement. And then I've recently switched over to the educational side of things. I'm working on my PhD, and my research is in stress physiology, which we will be talking about today, more or less examining measures of physiological stress in high stress tasks and environments, and then continuing on to see what possibly might be done to be able to mitigate those stressors that service members experience.
Thank you for your commitment to this line of work. It's very important. So let's begin our discussion. Tell us a bit about how service members' training and work environments affect stress levels. That's a good one.
Yeah, I think oftentimes service members find themselves in work environments, whether that individual works a physically demanding role or they work a more cognitively demanding role, something that's more cyber or intel related. And both of those can give equal amounts of stress to the service member. So a more physically demanding role, some stressors that they might experience are going to be the military field trainings that they're doing, maneuvering unpredictable terrains, periods of heavy or prolonged load carriage, things like that. And then those who work more cyber or intel or office related roles, some stressors that they might experience, just excessive workload. Oftentimes they have tasks that have a high cognitive demand, and stress can really affect that. Maybe you just struggle with work-life balance, and that can be anybody really, no matter what your role is. And then just pressure from top down or from leadership. Those are a lot of the stressors, and certainly not an exhaustive list that service members face.
Great. Thank you for that. So this next question, it's kind of weird, but I'm sure it's important to ask, is there a such thing as good stress?
Yeah, definitely a great question to ask. Eustress is what we would typically call good stress. Typically, this will elicit some sort of positive response in the body and the brain. And important to note that there are a lot of things that can be a stressor to the body, but at the end of the day, the response that our body has is the same no matter what. So I kind of always say stress is stress. Even if we are experiencing a positive stressor and we have those positive emotions that are associated with that, we could still experience the same physiological response that we might experience to something that we deem as a bad stressor or distress.
Can the body actually adapt to stress? Is that possible?
Yeah, another great question. So ultimately, when we want to apply stress, whether that's through physical training, whether that's through cognitive training, whether that's through just exposure to high stress environments, the goal is to be exposed to those in a systematic manner over time and allowing enough recovery in between those stressors. And then eventually, if we do that the right way, we can even begin to supercompensate and create new baseline levels or new performance levels for the service member. And then that's kind of where that adaptation comes in. But the problem that we often find in service members is that we don't allow enough recovery and we continue to stay exposed to the number of stressors that I listed earlier. And that's where we begin to see those decreases in performance.
You know, stress is such a hot button issue these days. And every time you talk to somebody, they're saying, oh my God, I'm so stressed out. This job is so stressful. My family is just so stressful. So this is a really important conversation. Whitney, what are the short and long-term effects of occupational stress on a person's health and wellness?
Short-term, acute stress can be, and when applied appropriately, can be good for you. And we can begin to see benefits over time when we apply it in small amounts. The problems with our health and wellness come when we begin to apply this stress for long periods of time. We don't remove ourselves from these stressors. Like I said, we're not recovering from these stressors. And that's kind of what we would call chronic stress. And just overall, a long-term disruption of our baseline performance levels. And so what that begins to look like as far as our health and wellness goes, we have increased risk of high blood pressure. It could lead to greater instances of cardiovascular disease and respiratory illnesses. Our immune function is impaired, so we begin to get sick more often. We are not able to recover from being sick quite as easily. Our risk of injury goes up. We develop poor sleep habits, anxiety, burnout, depression, and sometimes even weight gain or weight loss, which both of those could be negative depending on the needs of the individual.
Can stress negatively impact the body's physical performance?
Absolutely. And kind of as I mentioned, as we're able to adapt, when we're initially exposed to a stressor, whether that be exercise, because exercise itself is a stressor to the body, or just a number of the work and environmental stressors that service members are exposed to, we will see, and it's just the normal response of the body, a decrease in our physical fitness and our physical performance, whether that's our ability to do physical jobs in the moment that we need to be doing them, or even kind of, like I mentioned, more cognitive roles. The more that we prepare ourselves for those, we can also see the opposite, where our physical fitness begins to have positive effects on our stress.
Can any of that lead to injury?
Yes, absolutely. And so service members, tactical personnel, they are among the top occupations considered at a higher risk for injuries, simply related to the physical and the occupational stressors. And they're often have high training and work volumes that are as well a large contributing factor to that stress. And so that increase when we enter whether it's PT or recreational sport or simply just doing a task that's required for the job, when we go into that task and we are stressed, we are entering that task at below our baseline performance levels. And that's where that increase of injury comes in. So another kind of important note, like musculoskeletal injuries are the leading cause of lost duty time in the military. And then musculoskeletal injuries do count for around 75% of limited duty cases in the military. So if we're able to better mitigate our stress, better manage our stress, that can definitely have an impact on maybe the risk of injury that we might experience.
Wow, that's interesting. Since we're right on this topic, let's talk a bit about how stress affects our ability to make critical decisions. How does that work?
Yeah, so similar to how we talk about the impact that stress has on our physical demands, that has the same effect on our cognitive demands. And as you mentioned, our ability to make critical decisions in real time. I think if you have been in an environment or in a situation where you have to think quickly on your feet, you have to have strong analytical skills, something of that nature. When we're under stress, our brain perceives more things to be a threat. And so those cognitive functions that we need to be quick on our feet for are going to be very quickly diminished in a stressful environment or in a stressful scenario.
On our webinar, you discussed the human performance optimization spectrum chart. Can you share a bit more about that and what that chart does and what it describes?
Yeah. So we have this human performance optimization spectrum on functional fitness. And I actually had an interesting conversation with someone last week at a conference that I attended, performance versus wellness. And I would argue that performance and wellness are the same and equally as important. So on the spectrum, we range from health sustainment to performance enhancement. On that health sustainment end of the spectrum, that's simply just doing physical activity to merely sustain the current state that we're in. That doesn't necessarily lead to optimal work capabilities, though. We begin to move a little bit farther along the spectrum to performance sustainment. And this is maybe we're optimizing performance for core tasks that we need to do. We're meeting basic occupational demands here, but we're not really going above and beyond. And then as we move farther along, we have that performance enhancement or optimization end of that spectrum. And this is really moving beyond health and towards more mission-focused capabilities. The PT that we're doing, the activities that we're engaging in are structured to exceed the demands of the job and typically will incorporate multiple skills to optimize our performance versus maybe just one or two.
And what is a stress curve?
Yeah, so the stress curve, otherwise known as either the Yerkes-Dodson principle or the individual zone of optimal functioning, this is kind of a way for individuals to visualize that stress can be and is good for us. And in fact, we do need some degree of stress to perform optimally. So on the far left side of that curve, you kind of see that when we don't have enough stress, we're not as motivated to perform, we're a little bored, maybe we have a lack of focus, but then as we apply a healthy amount of stress, our focus begins to increase, our performance begins to increase, we feel motivated, we're kind of in that zone of optimal functioning, like I mentioned. But then once we exceed that amount of stress, we begin to feel fatigued and exhausted, our performance begins to go down. And then for longer periods of time, maybe we even experience sickness or burnout. And important to note on that topic that the right amount of stress is not only different for each person, but it's also going to vary from task to task. So for example, as I mentioned in the webinar, the amount of stress it takes for me to do this presentation or to do this webinar is going to vary greatly from the amount of stress it's going to take me to probably do a more physically demanding task.
Wow, that is so interesting. How does stress optimization play a part in our physical activity?
Yeah. So prior exposure to stressors, whether that's physical activity, environmental stressors, emotional stressors, that is going to lead to increased performance and physical tasks and our physical fitness. So we see kind of in the research decreases in fitness that we experience and decreases in our task performance that we experience can possibly be mitigated by having higher levels of physical fitness prior to involvement in those tasks. Oftentimes that's just because the individual is already adapted, they're better able to use that stress to their advantage. And we also know that physical activity increases our mental resilience and our readiness. So when we expose ourselves to something that's perceivably hard or challenging or stressful, such as intense physical activity or intense physical fitness, we are better able to adapt to other situations that may be challenging or stressful as well.
Can you go into that a bit more? That's very interesting. Give us more benefits of physical activity. I know, you know, we know that we use it to stay fit, but what are the other benefits?
Yeah, exactly. So it can have great benefits on our mental health as well as our physical health and performance. From the mental side of things, we've seen in the research that physical activity has protective effects against depression and anxiety. So we begin to see reduced symptoms of each of those. Physical activity can increase our ability to tolerate high workloads, and that can be mentally as well. Sometimes when we are exposed to high work volumes, that's when kind of our cognitive demands begin to shut down. And so physical activity can help mitigate that. And it also helps kind of maintain our circadian rhythm and improve our sleep quality, which we know impacts both our physical and our mental performance.
This has been a great discussion. Are there any resources available through CHAMP for our listeners who are seeking to self-educate on optimizing stress?
Yeah, we have a website, champ-hprc.org, or you can just go in Google, type in CHAMP HPRC, and it's going to be the first website that pops up. And there's a variety of resources. You can go into the search bar in this site and you can type in stress, you can type in performance, anything related to this conversation. And even beyond this conversation, you can go in and you can find information and articles that can give you actionable information that you can take home today in this moment that you can go ahead and hopefully begin to start making those changes that you want to make.
Absolutely. Thank you. Whitney, what is one takeaway you want our audience to get from today's episode?
Yeah, I think biggest takeaway here is that stress can be and is good for you, but when it is applied appropriately, and also when we believe it to be, our mindset around stress also has a great impact on the stress that we experience. So if we believe the stress that we're under to be negative, to be taking away from our job, to be taking away from our home life, that stress is going to have a greater impact on you in a negative way than if we believe the stress that we're experiencing to be making us more resilient, to be making us more capable. So obviously, from a physical perspective, yes, we need to apply appropriately and we need to recover from it sufficiently, but we also have to have a positive mindset towards the stress that we're experiencing as well.
Wow, what a great discussion on such a hot button issue. Whitney, thank you for joining us today. Thank you for sharing this very helpful information with our listeners. Listeners, thank you for listening and have an amazing day.
Thank you so much for having me as well. I appreciate it and I'm glad I was able to share this information with everybody.
Thank you for joining this month's Resilience Roundup podcast. We hope you enjoyed the show. Please continue to follow the Directorate of Prevention, Resilience, and Readiness on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, and Twitter. Stay resilient.